This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This Sunday, we take an excursion into the ancient history of Galilee and a particular birthday party. And Dr. Wyatt shares that despite all that evil would do, we have a gift beyond price.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon reads from the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And all of us have things we need to give over to the one who has paid this debt for us, giving us a life in him that is beyond price. I do hope you will stay with us.
King Herod heard, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead. That is why these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But Herod said, John, who I'm beheaded, has been raised. For Herod had seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John said of Herod, it is not lawful to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leading men of Galilee, Herodias' daughter came and danced. And she pleased Herod, and he said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish, and I will grant it. And he vowed, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. And she went out to her mother and asked, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptizer. She returned with haste and said, give me at once the head of John the Baptist, on a platter. The king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And the king sent a soldier, giving orders to bring his head, and brought his head on a platter. And he gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. Sharon has read a passage from the Gospel of Mark that has become very much part of our culture, depicted in literature, art, movies, even opera. It is fascinating for its drama, depravity, dishonor, and deep shame. Mark, as very early tradition relates, has recorded the messages of Peter. And here, as Herod's threat to Jesus becomes known, we become part of Peter's reminiscence of how the Baptist lost his life. It is again a tale of the unending conflict between good and evil, man's better nature and his worst, too often witnessed to daily in various parts of our world, as every stand of decency and morality are seemingly trampled into the dust. This was Herod Antipas's life, the son of Herod the Great and Malthace. He was given Galilee and Perea to rule following his father's death. His rule would be malicious, manipulative, and malignant. He murdered two of his sons by a previous wife, believing that they were a threat, leaving the Roman emperor to remark, it is better to be Herod's pig than his son, meaning that his pig had a better chance for a long life. he built his capital, Tiberias, on an ancient cemetery, thereby excluding believing Jews from even entering the city, for such a site would be considered unclean. For Herod's mode of rule was after the manner of the Roman court, where anything goes. And Herod Antipas, we learn, had married his brother's wife, who was also his niece, after getting rid of his previous wife, all of which brought the denunciation of John the Baptist, which would in time result in his arrest and death. And now Peter recounts upon hearing what Herod was saying about Jesus, will relate the entire sordid story. This within the context of Jesus retiring with his disciples beyond the region of Galilee, beyond Herod's rule, and a hoped-for solitary place beyond the pursuit of the multitudes. But even here, Jesus in his compassion provides bread in the wilderness for a flock without a shepherd. Such remarkable events and the stories of the healings, which is why the crowds have been following him, has stirred in Herod Antipas, uncharacteristically, a sense of guilt, for he says, "This is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." It seemingly was a common perception, especially for those unfamiliar with John's ministry. For we know that Jesus had been baptized by John, but obviously others did not. A casual observer, those with no direct experience with the Baptist, saw that Jesus' ministry seemed to begin after John disappeared. And as John did no signs, here were marvelous, stunning miracles being attributed to this Jesus. They seemed to reflect the powers of another world, at least that of the age to come. It is why others saw in Jesus the return of Elijah from heaven, or as one of the prophets of old returned from the dead. Clearly, this Jesus demonstrated a power not of this world. The only question in doubt was as to exactly who was Jesus. Here was one who appeared to be the promised prophet who was to herald the last days. To identify Jesus as Elijah is to clearly see him as the coming one. For the Baptist had defined his purpose in terms which, if not directly, certainly implied that the one mightier than I was he whose coming would change everything. Herod is disturbed by these reports, and in his fear, guilt, even remorse, fears that the Baptist has come back to haunt him, returning from the grave with magical powers working through him. For Herod knows who is to blame, ultimately, for the execution of John the Baptist. It is he himself, no one else. It is at this point the story becomes a flashback to what happened. Herodias, Herod's wife, shares her husband's sin, but shows none of Herod's reluctance or deference to John as a prophet, or as Mark relates it, knowing that John was a just and holy man, and he protected him. Herod even heard John, even enjoyed much of what he had to say. His preaching would obviously leave him perplexed, but the powerful and authoritative delivery were certainly enjoyable. Even the Baptist's strange and restrictive lifestyle, so different from his own, added a unique draw to what he was saying. Herod would just be too weak and indulged to accept what John said, but one had to listen. But not Herodias. She sought his death. And Mark relates a picture of Herod's court of a scheming, manipulative woman who uses the weaknesses of her husband to get what she wants. For she had no compulsions, and the opportunity presented itself when Herod celebrated his birthday with a banquet, for, as Mark records it, for the great men, his commanders of battalions, and the chief men of Galilee. The inference here is that Herodias deliberately sent her daughter into the feast to dance in order to elicit from Herod, her husband, any wish that she desired. This, of course, is not what one would permit in a Jewish context, but this is Roman, and this dance by the young girl was undoubtedly lascivious and designed to achieve the desired result of her mother. And indeed, Herod was pleased, as were his guests, perhaps because it was the princess who danced, clearly in a loud and boisterous manner, which would fit in such a banquet. Herod invites the girl to ask whatever she desires, swearing to do so by an oath, even to have his kingdom. Such a statement is not to be taken literally, however, but was an ancient form by which rulers expressed immense generosity. And such expressions can be found in our Old Testament and elsewhere in antiquity. Such extreme generosity suited the occasion, and would be seen so by all in attendance. The girl would leave to ask her mother. For as was customary, all in attendance at this banquet were men. And clearly, if our implications are correct, that Salome danced at the instigation of her mother, she had not fully revealed her intentions to the young girl, only instructed her to dance in such a manner to gain Herod's approval. When Salome does ask, Herodias' response is blunt and immediate, which does betray that she had been waiting for just such a moment as this. Her response is for the head of John the Baptist, and this does not surprise her daughter, for upon hastening back to the banquet site, she seems to add on her own the gruesome details of on a platter, to add its own offering to the banquet still in progress. Clearly, if this addition is Salome's, she too shares in her mother's disgust of the prophet. Herod, in his state of celebration, clearly a little better or the worse for the wine, upon hearing the young girl's answer, he is instantly sobered. He had previously been reveling in the good spirit of the moment. Now, with this malicious request, Mark tells us he is exceedingly sorry. He does not want to grant this request of all things, yet his very word, his oath, is on the line. His ability to rule and command respect is in jeopardy if he reneges. He, the political animal, has no choice, for he had sworn an oath before all the great men of his kingdom. So he sends the executioner off with the command that John's head be brought and be given to the girl. This is not the most pleasant of gifts, but perhaps it is Herod's way of responding to this gruesome demand. However, as the narrative shows, John's death was not the end, for John's effect on Herod continues. The ministry of Jesus has rekindled the whole affair and the memories of John's message. Herod would pay in kind eventually, for in just a few years, the Nabatean hordes of King Artas would sweep in, avenging Herod's humiliation to the king's daughter, Herod Antipas's first wife, which, as Josephus records, the people all attributed all of this to God's act in avenging the Baptist's death. That is, however, but a minor footnote to the history of this region, full of avarice, murder, deceit, and corruption. What is for us to see is that Herod knows this act was his doing. He beheaded John. He doesn't blame Herodias or Salome, but himself. It was his act of bravado while under the influence of strong drink and his own licentiousness. The ghosts of his past continued to haunt him. Here is a man who considered himself above the law, all-powerful in his own realm, but finds himself ensnared in his own personal relationships and political manipulations. He becomes trapped, and this all causes him to do what he would not have done alone, without being overwhelmed by his own weaknesses, poor decisions, and even weaker moral code. It will lead him weaker, poorer in spirit, and in everything that counts. Mark has included this story but for one reason, to prepare his readers for the fact that what happened to John the Baptist will happen again, for much the same reason. the same corruption, political gamesmanship, dishonesty, and self-aggrandizement. Yes, it is evil. These are forces always present and will be launched against Jesus himself. Yes, evil. Those forces always present will be launched against Jesus himself, not only to hurt, wound, or abuse. Oh, that too. But ultimately, these evil forces are out to destroy Jesus utterly. That this too will fail. In fact, fail worse than with John does not seem to matter. Evil is seemingly unthinking. And in fact, immorality, corruption, sin is unthinking, irrational. You see it in what Herod does and does not do. We see it in Caiaphas, the high priest, and Pilate. Their better thoughts, desires, even to be fair, honest, and just, are thrown away. Options that are not possible because of who they have become. Power-crazed, self-seeking, avarice, corrupt, and creatures of those they have allowed to surround them. As Paul will relate, if they, the rulers of this age, had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Sin is an act of hubris, self-centeredness, and stupidity. But we don't seem to learn. It will haunt one as this act haunted Herod. Most will not commit such horrendous barbarity that scarred Herod's life. But all of us have things we need to give over to the one who has paid this debt for us. We need to see Jesus for who he truly is. Not the Baptist resurrected or another of the prophets of old, but he whose sacrifice is our atonement, our peace offering that we too can share in, whereby his act is our forgiveness, barring all our ghosts, giving us a life in him that is beyond price. Oh, my Lord, if there are any that are still carrying about the burden of guilt and sin, the haunting ghosts of the past, let them see that in you they can give that over and lay it at the cross. For you gave your life that we all might find forgiveness for all our faults, misdeeds, where we have missed the mark. For, Lord, you want to cover us with that blood that was shed so generously upon Calvary, that we too might join you in that kingdom that shall come on earth as it is in heaven, all for the glory of God Almighty. Amen and amen.
What happened at Herod Antipas' birthday party is for Peter a clear indication of what was to be the destiny of Jesus. Yet, what the death of Jesus Christ has brought about, as this message has made clear, is a gift beyond price. And so this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering his book, Salvation: What, Why, How, and Other Questions. Here is what our God proposed from before creation, why Christ came, was obedient unto death, and how we can obtain this priceless gift. If you are searching, wondering, or having questions, write and ask for Salvation: What, Why, How, and Other Questions. It can be yours at no charge. We here at the Wings of Healing so want to thank all of you who, by your thoughtfulness and prayers, have kept this ministry vital and on your wonderful radio station. We depend on dear people like you for the Word of God to be broadcast to a world that is so in need of hearing the good news of God's loving grace. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister,
Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This was an enjoyable time for me, and I pray for you as well. This program has been an aid for Corey of Florida, who has written, "Thank you, Dr. Wyatt. I have enjoyed immensely your radio program. It has deepened my faith, stirred me to study and learn more. Just keep up doing what you are doing. I know many have been touched." Well, thank you, Corey. That is certainly my prayer. And I encourage more to write. We are here for you. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now Chris Tomlin performs appropriately, "I Will Boast Only in the Cross." So until next week, it is all about Jesus.
I will boast only in the cross, where my Savior died for me. Nothing else, no other love goes so far and runs so of grace, the scars that he broke the curse and set me free. Only one took the nails, only one tore the veil, only
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Sunday, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, Salvation: What, Why, How, and Other Questions. Here is provided in a clear and understandable style what salvation is, how it was accomplished for us, and how its reality can be yours.
This is a valuable resource, so do write and ask for Salvation, What, Why, How, and other questions. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those that love Him.